from coronavirus, 11 in your state of Washington alone. What are you learning about how to protect people who get this virus?
We're learning that we really need to be very cautious about how infectious this germ is, because it is reasonably easily transmissible. And so we're doing everything we can not to focus on the outbreak of sketchy information, but on leveraging common sense and actually following evidence-based guidelines that say that you wash your hands often, that you use hand sanitizer, that if you're going to do anything that interacts with somebody who has the germ, that you use appropriate personal protection equipment so that you can minimize any risk of transmitting person to person.
Yeah, potentially life-saving advice for a lot of our viewers. The vice president, as you just heard, says the country right now doesn't have enough testing kits to meet the future demand. How does that impact hospitals like yours trying to contain the spread of the virus?
It's a huge impact to have insufficient tests available, because we anytime there's an outbreak, you see the tip of the iceberg. You get the people who have the most severe symptoms coming in. But those people got that infection from somewhere. And we need to figure out, in order to interrupt transmission of this infection, we need to figure out where that infection is coming from, which means you need to treat the less severely impacted. People who think they just have a cold, but they really have coronavirus. And if they happen to get around somebody that's 70 years old and has some underlying health conditions, can be lethal. And so we've got to start actually testing those less severely impacted patients.
Yeah, it's much worse for the elderly right now than for younger people. Your team has been treating coronavirus patients, including some from the Diamond Princess cruise ship. Tell us more about what that treatment looks like.
Well, it absolutely varies on the severity. So we've had people that really have had very minimal symptoms, more like your cold or your flu kinds of symptoms. And we've had people who have passed away, unfortunately. And the big challenge is that if the virus goes from having upper respiratory symptoms, so headache and fever and congestion, to having a viral pneumonia, it can really impact the ability to get oxygen into the bloodstream. And so then we have to do everything from using extra oxygen to using a ventilator. And in fact, in China, they've even had to use something called ECMO, which is like a bypass machine that can oxygenate the blood outside the body. And so we're working hard to learn from the experience in other countries so we can apply those lessons here as rapidly as possible.
I'm curious, Doctor, how these so-called isolation chambers, the negative pressure rooms, as they're called, actually work.
They actually do work. And the reason we use those is that in a regular hospital room, if somebody coughs and then you open the door, if there's anything that's aerosolized in that room, the air can whoosh out of the room and into the hallway and infect the hospital, which is, of course, not what you want. And instead, with a negative pressure room, you keep the atmospheric pressure in that room a little bit lower than the hallway. So when you open the door, air rushes in. And that air is then all filtered through a specific HEPA filter that keeps the germs from going beyond. In fact, in one of our hospitals, in our Everett hospital, we've turned an entire floor into a negative pressure floor so that we can actually manage the influx of people who are infected.
Well, thank you so much for what you and your team are doing. I know you're saving lives out there. Dr. Amy Compton Phillips, appreciate it very much.